Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
From Postcard from the Past and Wardour Studios, this is Podcast from the Past, the Postcard Podcast. This is the podcast where we consider beach views crowded with men in suits, underfed, red-sweated children looking wistfully over crumbling bridges, and a one-eared donkeys against solid blue skies, as we attempt to understand the memories, meanings, and stories held by picture postcards. I'm Tom Jackson. Today I'm delighted to say my guests are two comedians, Sook Hodgler and Marek Larwood. Marek and Sook, hello and welcome.
Pleasure to be here.
Hello, thank you for having us and thank you for getting my name right.
Well, I do my best. Sook Hodgler is a comedian, actor and writer. You'll know her from many things. Appearances on the BBC Asian Network comedy showcases, the BBC One sitcom Hospital People, the feature film Victoria and Abdul, Black Mirror, EastEnders, and her play PR, actually.
Yeah.
It was a tale of love and missed opportunities, written and starring Sook, and that toured the UK in 2017 and 2018. And her new show, For Sook's Sake, explores mental health, identity, living a double life, and the search for happiness. And For Sook's Sake will be her show at the Edinburgh Fringe this year. Depending on when you're listening to this, it may be all over by now. And this show is, by a strange coincidence, directed, I might add, by Marek Larwood. And Sook comes to us with an LS7 postmark.
That's right.
Leeds in Yorkshire.
Yes, it is. Yes, yes, yes. That's where I was born, and that's where I lived for the first 4 years of my life. And also the place where my parents moved to when they moved from Punjab in North India.
So has a place in your heart still?
Absolutely, yes. I still don't wear a big coat in the winter, like everybody from Yorkshire, and I refuse to pay £5 for a pint. So, yeah, despite sounding like this, I like to think I'm very Leeds.
Very good. And so, do you still send postcards?
I don't. I think I quite like a lot of mail. I like receiving it, but I'm too lazy to send it.
What does that say about you?
I'm incredibly lazy and self-centred, like a very typical only child. No, and also I think, like, culturally, we never, like, a lot of Asian people of my generation didn't go on holidays. We went to visit our families.
Right.
So we didn't.
Almost a commitment.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So, in actual fact, my parents have never had a holiday where it wasn't, or we're going to meet family, or it's a wedding, or it's a big celebration. So I'm taking them on their first proper, as I like to call it, holiday next year.
Are you? What's the plan?
Well, we're just going to Spain, so I've broken them in gently, and I've told them almost a year in advance so that my mum can get all of her anxious questions about it out the way, like, what do they eat and will I fit in?
I'm sure they'll have exactly the same good time that everyone else has. Whether you like it or not, you will almost certainly have seen Marek Larwood. You'll have seen him in Extras, the sci-fi sitcom Hyperdrive, on CBBC in Sorry I've Got No Head. Marek was, I think, him in Laura, Ben and Him, is that right?
That's right, yes.
And he was part of We Are Clang. He was an impractical joker. And most recently, you've probably seen him in Celebability.
Yeah.
And Marek is a comedian who can say a great deal with a look.
Yeah, well, my eyes pop out quite far.
It's great for radio.
What you're trying to politely say is I've got a very odd face.
And Marek comes to us today with a PO35 postmark.
Yes, this is the postcode for when I, where I grew up on the Isle of Wight in Bembridge, which is on the eastern tip of the Isle of Wight. A beautiful place which you hate until you leave.
Where's that?
Because I think it's just full of pensioners, really. I always say Bembridge is where people go to die, because it's just full of old people's homes, and that's it. But now when I go back there, I quite like it. Right. I went back very recently.
Well, this was for a big walk around the island, you did?
Well, for my birth, I always wanted to walk around the island. Well, I always felt I should do it, and I've got into walking lately as one of my hobbies for in my 40s. As I've sort of stopped doing proper sport and gone into walking. And I thought I'd try and walk round the Isle of Wight. And I didn't really plan it that well. I just booked a couple of B&Bs and it was over 70 miles and it took me 5 days.
Wow.
And was exhausting. I made a video, typically like I do out of everything, every task I do. So, yeah, it was great. But
so were you on the coastal path all the time?
The coastal path, which the first part isn't even on the coast, it's right. Just cuts in and it's just going through slightly shabby estates on the northeast of the Isle of Wight.
You're really selling it to me.
But the south coast is absolutely remarkable, beautiful. But it was very windy on some of the days and I was quite close to the cliff edge. So I'm a little bit scared of heights, so it was moderately stressful.
Oh, well, I'm glad you made it safely. Now, what was the last time you sent a postcard?
Well, this happens to be the last time was a postcard I sent. I've got it here in front of me from West Wight, which I sent to my girlfriend, which shows some of the many beautiful sights you can encounter when you go on a walk around the Isle of Wight.
This is a multi-view par excellence, isn't it? Because you've got, how many are there? 8, 10, 12, 13 images?
And that's just West Wight. Imagine if it was the whole of the Isle of Wight. You'd need about 8 postcards. You'd need a monster letterbox. So I always send a sort of quite crappy romantic card to my girlfriend, and this was saying, I think I said this one, I'm going to build that none of the sites were as beautiful as her, and I was going to make a statue of her out of toilet roll.
Oh, it was good for a while.
Mm. I always like to do that at the end, ruin everything at the end. That is something I do in my life.
And to a slightly boring point about postcards,
yes,
this is published by WJ Nye and Sons,
yes,
who are now Britain's longest running publishers of postcards.
Oh, really?
That are still in existence today, yeah. So, bravo to Nye and Sons, I say.
I feel really strongly about being from a sort of tourist area and working at rubbish jobs on the Isle of Wight, that I always buy postcards and send postcards every holiday, because I realise that these people in these terrible tourist shops need this postcard to feed their children.
Yes.
Yeah. Otherwise, they would all die.
Right. Can I just make this clear? I do buy postcards. I just don't send them.
That's the best bit about sending a postcard. Every holiday, I always send one to my mum, annoying my brother's family and my nan, because it means it saves you having to call them up.
Right, which would be quicker.
That counts as one telephone call.
Okay.
Which can last up to, like, 25 minutes and soon becomes, like, just hearing stories about people who've died.
Yes.
You know, those ones.
Yeah.
Just send a postcard and then you feel... And it also, it makes... Documenting things makes me feel like I'm alive.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
It's
a day's writing.
Yeah.
I've been creative today.
Well, more than that. One postcard counts as a day, I think.
Well, very good. Before we discover more cards that Sook and Marika brought along, I'll give you one of mine. And this, is a postcard from the past card, like I do on Twitter, at past postcard. An old card from which I've selected just a part of the message. So this one made me laugh. Even the description on the front, it sounds like a rock band, doesn't it? Mm. Cromer, Sheringham and the Runtons.
Or like a Dickensian law firm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly, yes. They've been in the same case for 40 years. a multi-view, really almost abstract, in that there's a brown and green of the beach scene and the cliff scenes of Norfolk. And the message just had a sentence happening. It's a very beautiful place. Small and select, and smells of wealth. I thought that's a good message.
What is the smell of wealth?
I don't know.
I think it's like bergamot and privilege. Mm.
Cologne?
Yeah.
Leather car seats? I don't know.
Pipes, though. I always think of pipes.
Yeah.
Pipes and sort of meat.
Yeah.
Fine meat.
Yeah, fine meat.
Fine meat.
When you go to your next walk around Norfolk, you can sniff and see what you get hold of.
See, that's what I Norfolk's beautiful as well, because I'm originally from Norfolk. I was born in Norfolk.
Oh, well.
So this is very coincidental.
What does it smell of?
Eels.
Maybe that's what it goes on to say. Well, we'll never know. Try another one, because that was so confusing for all of us. This is a John Hind card, famous publisher of postcards, and it's a picture of Cornwall. Mm. In fact, on the back, they're useful, these kind cards. They show you where Cornwall is, in case you don't know, which is good. And you probably know these Hind cards. They're famous for having kids with red jumpers and things.
Yes, very good.
Beautiful picture. It's a really, really beautiful picture.
Very wholesome. And
the message I took from here, I thought, had a kind of offhand kind of interest to it. He says, today we are going to look at where King Arthur was or something.
I want to know what the handwriting was. Is it a child's handwriting, which would explain it, or is it someone...
Yeah, this one is a bit childish.
I was going to say it could be someone with dementia, and it would make it very sad in that case.
In which case we shouldn't be laughing at it at all.
Yeah,
I'll put that one away. On that happy note, just to let you know at home, images of all the cards we discussed today are on the blog, postcardfromthepast.co.uk. Some of them will be featuring on Marek's website as well. You can investigate for yourself and see we're not making it up. Now, Marek and Sook, you've been kind enough to come onto the studio with cards clutched in your hands. Sook, let's start with you. What's the first card you've got for us?
It's a postcard that I bought for myself from the Turner Gallery, and it is it Rodin?
This is the Turner in Margate?
Yes.
Is that right? Oh, very good. Lovely place.
Oh, no, sorry. I take it back. The Tate in London.
Oh, the Tate?
Yeah. It says Turner Contemporary in the back, but then maybe it was put out by the Tate. Who knows? I don't remember buying
it. A lot of people
it.
Get those galleries confused.
Yeah. I do like the one in Margate, though. It's lovely.
Mm, very nice.
But I bought this. Sorry, it's The Kiss, by the way, by Rodin. I bought this because... I've got a vision board, and I've had a vision board for years, and sometimes I forget about it, or, you know, it just gets a bit dusty and I shove it into a cupboard somewhere, mainly when my visions aren't coming to life. But I found
this is a vision board means what exactly?
Oh, sorry, yes. I'm just assuming that everybody's a hippie like me and likes to burn incense and sage themselves before they leave the house. So a vision board is a board. It can be, it can be online. It can be like a Pinterest or something, or it can be an actual physical board, which is what I have. It's just a cork board that I've got where I pin things that I would like to bring into my life. So at the moment...
Oh, so you're summoning up what you want.
Yeah, so I'm conjuring things that I want. So currently it's got lots of postcards and pictures that I've cut out from magazines of houses by the sea. And this is one that's been on there for a while to kind of attract love into my life. And I'd like to say it's been effective, Tom, but it hasn't.
Oh. do you think taking it down off the board today might have caused a problem?
No, because it's been up there for years. And it's not, maybe...
Maybe this is the refresh it needs.
Yeah, maybe I need to kind of take the pressure off this
postcard. A bit like when your computer goes wrong and you switch it off and on again.
Yeah.
Maybe that will...
Maybe this will bring love into my life.
Yeah, the kiss is a bit much. Maybe you should just start off with a handshake or... a cup of coffee.
A friendly look.
The glance across the platform.
I was aiming quite high, wasn't I, really?
Well, it's a very passionate kiss that Rodin presents.
I'm going to say things could have got a lot saucier.
Those postcards are quite hard to get hold of nowadays. So did you see this in an exhibition or did you just see the card?
No, I just see the card. I love a gift shop. I never go in the gift shop first because I think that's rude.
Cheating.
So I always make myself, even if it's a museum or a gallery I've been in a lot or like, you know, I frequent like the National or whatever. But I always like to go through the gift card. And also like on school trips, I always used to buy postcards rather than pencils or, you know, pleather bookmarks or whatever they were.
You idiot.
And now you've got nothing to write with.
I've just got postcards. Reams and reams of postcards. Because they were kind of affordable and we didn't have a lot of money growing up. So
there is something legitimate about buying a postcard as well, because that's what you've been looking at.
Yeah.
You haven't been looking at pencils.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Marek.
Well, the Keswick Pencil Museum. Is it Keswick?
Yes, it is. You've trumped me.
But I'd buy
a postcard of the pencil. Yeah, very good. Well, no, but I think that's interesting. We've not had this idea that you're using cards for black magic purposes.
Yes, yes. And also, I mean, I've got quite a few postcards at home, but I don't really know what to do with them. Like, how do I display them? Do I display them as photos, or that doesn't really, you know, it's not really enough to have a collection.
I think the cork board's a great idea. I've got a cork board above my desk. I put postcards on it.
Yeah.
Lovely. Maybe it is a mood board. I've inadvertently made my own mood board.
Vision board.
Vision board. Yeah. Well, it could be a mood board.
It could be a mood board. That's if you want. That's more of an interior design thing.
Oh, right. Maybe I'm doing that then.
Yep.
But I think it's not unusual for writers of all kinds to because they're convenient,
yes,
and they're visual and they kind of are often a little bit, well, that's fairly clear what's going on there. But sometimes they're a bit sort of, what's the word? They have many meanings.
Yes.
I think a lot of writers have them kind of around their desk.
Yeah.
I think it's that unusual. I think, but less so that it's to summon up their future. Very good. Well, I hope that once it's replaced and as a pinhole through it again, it will do its job.
What would you have on yours?
Your vision board?
What a question.
Yeah. Didn't like that, did you?
No. No. I do the questions, thank you very much, Mr. Larwood. Moving on, Marek. We've already snuck one of your cards in, but what's the first proper card you've got for us?
This is a postcard of Aretha Franklin, not the actual Aretha Franklin, a wax model of her at the from the Rock Circus. And I was given this postcard. I thought this is juxtaposed quite nicely with a message on the back, which is... Should I read that out?
Yeah, please.
Marek, congrats on a stellar performance. I hope you enjoy this book about the Nazis, written in capital letters. Oh. Simon.
Okay.
So I think this requires a lot of explanation.
Yes, a lot going on there.
So this is from someone called Simon Bird, who people might know is the guy who wears the bespectacled man from The Inbetweeners, who also is a very good writer and director and comedy performer. Anyway, this is about 4 years ago, when the very first play I did, things were going really badly for me at the time. My agent was doing another job in Dubai. And I wasn't getting any auditions, and I was sort of thinking, should I give up on? And I got this audition to do a play, and when you get auditions, you get sent the whole play. I think it was the next day, and everyone always just, you go through and read the lines that you've got first of all.
Of course.
And, not, and you go in and say, did you enjoy the play? And you think, yes, I absolutely loved it. It was so riveting all the way through, and I really hope you don't ask me any more questions. So I auditioned for this play. This was going to the Manchester International Festival, and because I didn't really have any work, and I thought I wouldn't get this. And I tried out a couple of parts, and then my agent emailed me from Dubai to say, "Oh, you've got the part in this play." And I thought, "Oh, great! There's about 12 parts in it. I won't have to do that much. About 20 lines, rock up, do a bit, go home." Mm. And I said, who are the other people in it? And they said to the other actors, and there were only three. And I said, what do you mean there's only three other actors? And they said, they all play the lead parts, and you play all the other nine characters. And I was like, what? And I remember reading, I needed the money, so I had to do it. And I remember reading through it and almost crying that my brain was not capable of remembering so many lines. And I had to literally put it on an iPod and listen to it every day for about a month, constantly, because my brain was incapable of taking that information in. I think about plays, the comic performances I've done before have always been where you can just mess... When you're doing stand-up, you can just mess up, right, you know, and just do cover. Or I was in a sketch group called We Are Clang. We would just make up stuff. When it went wrong, it was actually better.
Yeah.
And this, when you do a play, you're literally... If you get the lines wrong, it's like handing a bucket of excrement to the other actor and going, all right, do you want to deal with that, mate, in front of all these people?
Yeah.
So it was a terrifying experience. I think the play was all right. I think I did quite a good job on it. Anyway, Simon's very kind. It was his first play as well, so we're both quite stressed about it. And he bought me a book at the end of it. And I don't know what it was, a book called HHHH. I think it was a book about the assassination of Heydrich, I think it was.
Right.
So it looks as though, but to read it, you would think, and to look at me, you would think that I was
a far right
sympathiser.
Yes, well,
but I think it was quite. So nice,
it was a history book.
It was a novel based on
on
the assassinate, and I lost it on the train. I'm sorry, Simon.
Oh.
I read about. So I don't know if he ever got assassinated.
But there's, I'm still, you know, there's still kind of resonances on this. Because one side you've got Simon offering you the book about the Nazis. On the other side you have a waxwork of Aretha Franklin. How does that tie together?
I think he probably thought it was quite funny to give me a book about the Nazis with the probably really inappropriate.
It's certainly hard to find a resolve between those, I think.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, what a nice picture. And the Rock Circus, as you probably know, was this Madame Tussauds spin-off at Piccadilly Circus in, what do they call it, the...
Trocadero, that place.
Yeah, I think it's upstairs at the Trocadero.
Is it still there?
When did it close?
No. Probably closed at least 10 years ago.
Did you go?
Yeah, I did. I did. I'm fond of waxworks. It wasn't big, but it was all, and it was all these figures. And, of course, you'd hear the music playing and so on. Mm. And but it was a bit difficult because... Music is very sort of fashion-related, and the latest groups are always very fashionable, and waxworks are kind of a bit unfashionable, so it didn't really marry very well. But I think it was aimed at the American tourists, of course.
Yeah, there's the Wax Museum on the Isle of Wight, which closed down, which was one of the
Braiding?
Yeah, it's not there anymore. It's a hair studio. I walked past it the other day when I was looking for red squirrels in the local area.
Yes.
And but the Wax Museum's that Wax Museum was brilliant because... It was terrifying because all the actual models were it's as if, you know, when they do those archaic sort of before Hugh Millicent was developed and they drew drawings of people where all the bodies were slightly, the heads were slightly the wrong size and everything. But that made it all the more terrifying.
Yeah,
everyone was terrified of the Max Wax Museum.
Yeah.
I remember Death used to play the piano. And you see the back of this hooded figure and the skeletal hands on the piano, and the head would slowly turn round and look at you.
Oh, wow.
And there was a murder in the actual Wax Museum.
A real one?
A real murder, where I think it used to be a coach house. And in the Wax Museum, they had a Wax Museum of the person dead in their bed and the door opening with a hand on the door. And you think, well, actually, that person getting murdered... I mean, they probably die happy in realising that they would be celebrated. Their murder would be celebrated in a wax reproduction.
Got something out of it.
300 years later,
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant there was a current murder, that somebody was killed and then their body was planted within the exhibition. That's not what you meant, did you?
Well, that's a bit like that German bloke, isn't it? That what's his name? The weird German guy who makes those...
Oh, which is also now in pretty much the same location.
Bodyworks, is it called?
Yes, he called?
Very sinister.
Klaus von Vampire.
Yeah, he tries to make out like it's not...
It's only science. Yeah. It's only science.
A horrific project.
Yeah, no, I'm inclined to agree. And that's wax, isn't it? All waxed up bits of your body. How disgusting. Marek, thank you very much for sharing your Nazi version of Aretha Franklin, something we didn't expect to see.
A pleasure.
That also sounds like the plot of the next Tarantino movie.
Well, he'll be listening to this.
Yes.
We'll know where it came from.
If you're listening, we know you are. Another quick card from me. This is one of the busiest beaches you'll ever see. They call it the Children's Beach at Weymouth, but... plenty of adults in there as well. Yeah. But amazing to colour. Looks like it's from 1940s. It's actually from... 1970. There you go. Isn't it funny? The message on this one is a strange one. As often is the case, it poses more questions than it answers. I'm doing nothing else but sort out big dogs and dustmen.
It sounds as though someone has left their husband... and gone on holiday. She's sick of doing, or mate could be male or female, but they're sick of doing the household chores. That's why I got out of it. What did you think?
Sick of doing dogs, did it say?
I'm doing nothing else but sort out big dogs and dustmen.
If you read it as an irate person, it changes it.
I'm doing nothing else.
That's it.
But yeah, it is.
Sort out big dogs and dustmen.
Yeah. You said you'd sort out the dustmen. I was going to do the big dogs. Anyway, this is something calmer altogether. Walton on the Naze, another little four-way multi-view. This time, each one hand-painted skies, I suspect. And it's quite a philosophical comment, I think, this one. There aren't any Rice Krispies, but a nice lot of sand. Well, there you are.
Oh, see, that's the kind of attitude I like.
What do you mean?
Just gratitude. It's an attitude of gratitude. There's no Rice Krispies, but there's a lot of sand.
Oh, the compensation of the sand.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they're forced to eat sand.
Oh.
I can't see an equivalence myself.
I don't think it's like a POW type kind of postcard.
It looks a little bit like a... It's not the friendliest looking beach.
When I went on my walk around the Isle of Wight, I was making a video of it and my brother watched it and I said, this holiday camp looks like a POW war camp, and it was.
Oh, because it had been?
Yeah.
On the Isle of Wight?
Yeah.
Wow, from the Second World War?
Yeah.
But I think
All wars.
All of the
but
wars.
I think all those early holiday camps were either... barracks,
yeah.
or yes. POW camps,
yeah.
Weren't they?
Because
they had the buildings.
Yeah.
They didn't have the entertainments then, obviously.
No.
Well, trying to escape, wasn't it? Digging tunnels.
Mm.
Can I ask you, do you prefer the traditional one-picture postcard or the multi-view? Because I've noticed I never heard of them called multi-views before.
Same.
I like saying it.
That's good.
I don't know. I do quite like the multi-views. I'll tell you why I like them. Because there's a postcard purity to them, in that nothing else has multi-views. You don't go into the National Gallery and see multi-views. Well, maybe
Warhol.
Apart from when you're seeing... I like all of them equally, actually, Marek, since you asked. All of them equally for me. I'm not bothered either way.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You're listening to Podcasts from the Past, the Postcard Podcast, and my guests today are comedians and actors Marek Larwood and Sukh Ojla.
You were doing so well, Tom.
I know, I'm so sorry.
It was a multi-view question that got you.
Yeah.
And you've relaxed.
I keep
now.
Being put on my metal, put on my somethings by the inquisitor Marek. So what's the second card you've got for us today? Is this from your inspiration come witchcraft board?
No, it's not. No, it's not. Not this one. No, so basically, I have become a much nicer person in the last 6 months or so. And if you want to know how that happened, come see my Edinburgh show. Marek knows the secret, don't you, Marek?
Meeting me.
Yep. And you've ruined it now, thanks. And whereas before I used to just ignore people when they thrust things in my hand, you know, like newspapers or, you know, kind of other promotional materials, I now... feel a lot of compassion and empathy for them and stop to have a chat with them. And I got off the train, so I live in Gravesend now, and I got off the train and came into St Pancras, and a lady came up to me with a clipboard asking me, saying she was from the Kent Society for whatever, or Southeastern or something. I was only half listening. I'm not that compassionate. And she said, oh, ask me how I got in and stuff. And it was basically about... it's some kind of scheme that they've got, or they're trying to promote people trying to get people to use more public transport or to cycle more or to what have you. And I can't ride a bike. So we had a conversation about me not being able to ride a bike. And she gave me a whole pack of things. She gave me a free tote bag, which I was very happy about, and with all sorts of maps and what have you in there. And one of the things was this postcard of, where is this? Horseshoe Viaduct in Tindrum, West Highland Lane, Scotland.
Amazing.
And I quite liked it because I love Scotland and I'm going up there, going up to Edinburgh this year. Also because it reminds me a little bit of Harry Potter. And I know that they filmed some of Harry Potter up in Scotland.
Well, it's a train going over a viaduct, isn't it?
I mean,
and it's kind of nestled in amazing green landscape.
Oh, it's absolutely stunning.
It's a sort of train lover's fantasy, this picture, isn't it?
And also because I do love trains, not in a kind of particularly nerdy way, like I don't know a lot about them or I'm not a train spotter or anything, but I love being on trains. I love a long train journey. Like anything longer than kind of like an hour is just absolute bliss.
What do you do? What's the good bit about it?
If it's raining, I stare out the window and pretend I'm in a 90s music video. sometimes it's great just to work. I just find that once, if I'm on kind of transport, it's the same with buses as well. Like if I'm on transport, if I'm moving, if I'm going somewhere, I can write better. I think more clearly. Sometimes I like to pick one person in the carriage, and if it's an attractive man, like to imagine our whole lives together. Do you ever do that?
No, not really.
I do. I like to have a little fantasy about this person where, you know, we kind of, our eyes meet over
Do you meet
trolley.
In the train carriage?
That's how the story starts.
Well, I wanted to buy the fruitcake and he wanted to buy the fruitcake and he ended up sharing the fruitcake.
Yes. Something like that.
I mean,
something
really
as erotically
that's quite
charged.
That's quite a prosaic fantasy.
Maybe, you know, he just kind of sees what I'm working on my laptop and starts talking to me or something. Although if that happened in real life, I'd be really annoyed.
Yeah,
I'd
be
absolutely livid.
You start looking, you sort of like, read your diary.
That's rude. Maybe we just catch each other's eye. Maybe it's just as simple as that and then strike up a conversation. Please don't look at me like I'm a serial killer. This does happen outside of London, by the way.
I'm just thinking that when I get on the train, I makes me think I hate the general public.
Oh, no,
so
you see,
I always try and find the quiet coach and always try and find the carriage right at the end where there's no one there and sit at the back.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that train behaviour has got worse lately. And normally they used to run 8 carriages on the trains. Now they always run about 5, so you don't get that space. And you end up listening to some businessman having the same conversation over and over again.
But commuter trains are worse than the long-distance trains, aren't they?
Oh, I don't know, because there is a trend for having business meetings on a train, and I've heard a lot of that. So I actually invested in some noise-cancelling headphones last year, and they have been a game-changer for me. So now I can't. I've actually forgotten them today, and I'm furious.
Well, they would have got in the way in here.
So. Oh, yes, that's true. they've really helped. You just block out people. It's fantastic. Sometimes I'm not even playing music in them.
Headphone device.
Yeah.
I get very sensitive to people sitting near me. In an empty train, I think there's always an etiquette when you get on any empty mode of transport that you never sit within two. If it's empty, you would not sit in a seat in front of someone or parallel seats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the standard code of behaviour that someone.
You need to calculate. What's the polite distance to be?
And then the second, it's like chess almost. So the first person comes on, the second person has to sit opposite the other end, and the third person sits in the middle. The other person has to find an equidistant. That's normal. When people don't do that, when you're sitting on an empty train and someone comes on and sits parallel to you, I get so furious I can't concentrate on what? Who on earth sits parallel or in the seat in front on an empty train?
But that's all in your head driving you mad.
So I get so cross about it. It's basic manners. Sorry, I've hijacked your story and made it into
something
horrible.
No, that's okay. I mean, it was just going to be a really lovely story.
So dreaming that someone lovely is going to come and sit next to her.
Yeah. Not next to me. Oh, God, no. Oh. I don't like people that much. But, like, three or four seats away. And do you know what? I really enjoyed that section in the Metro about Rush Hour Crush.
Oh, it's great,
isn't it? And I, for years, used to fantasise that somebody would write in about the person eating a cheese and onion pasty on their own.
Yeah, it's always
about
after
you.
A show. Yes.
I always feel bad. It's always about handsome people, isn't it? It's never like, you are that bald, sweaty man. It looks a bit like a frog. I was a Swedish model.
But that the Metro, I remember, obviously I remember when the Metro started, but I remember being really shocked. It was a bit like finding out that Father Christmas didn't exist or something, when I discovered there were metros in other cities.
Yes.
With the same content.
Yeah.
So
still London-centric content.
No. So it would say, where it had said the attractive bald-headed man who was somewhat frog-like who I saw on the Piccadilly line, it would then say the attractive bald-headed man who was somewhat frog-like who I saw in Piccadilly, Manchester.
You're joking.
What?
I think that's right. I think they just
make them up? No,
this is terrible.
That's what I could be wrong, and I could be doing them a big disservice. But I think it's all about everything. Isn't everything made up?
But it's stolen from or borrowed from Time Out, because I used to get Time Out. You used to go for the comedy.
This is
about 10 years ago, before Time Out became rubbish. And there was a section there called Once Seen.
Oh, yeah.
Which was the same as the Metro one, but in more detail. But I think that's where the Metro borrowed the idea from.
Rude.
Who knows? I mean,
no copyright on ideas.
Exactly, you're right.
Well, I'm sure they're all real. I'm sure they're real. And I'm sure that you will both be featured as objects of other people's desire before too long. Fact. well, thank you for taking us on a journey with that train postcard.
I see what you did there.
Marek, what's the last card you've got for us? Something special, I think.
Yes, it's a remarkable postcard. This is the postcard that I can almost guarantee that everyone has received a variation of this postcard. This is probably the most used postcard now in Britain. It is, we call to deliver your parcel, which needs to be signed for, but you are not in. And it's left from a neighbour. Usually it's illegible, so you can't tell what number they've left it at. I mean, you think that's the only thing you have to do is to write a number. If you want to, I always say that the quickest way to measure time is the time between the doorbell ringing and the time they write that postcard. You've got literally 4 seconds.
Yeah.
And I live up some stairs, so there's no way. I've heard the doorbell ring and then gone straight down and there's been this card. That's why it's written, because they write it so fast.
And then there's a 24-hour gap before you can get that urgent thing.
Yeah.
And a queue.
I mean, then this is parcel force. This isn't Royal Mail.
Yeah, I tried to find. So. I think I threw away my Royal Mail one. So normally they're Royal Mail, and you go to that Royal Mail collecting point, which is normally at the furthest point possible.
Yeah, from anyone.
Yeah,
yeah.
Open between 8 and 8:15 in the morning, or on Saturdays at 10:39.
With proof of identity.
Proof of identity.
Yeah. Blood group.
Yeah, and a really dirty window. Yeah. A bloke who looks as though you've just insulted every member of his family, his mother, who won't look you in the eye. One of the most unpleasant experiences ever.
Mm. Now, is this a live card? Is this yet to be...
No, this is from 13th of December. It's not.
So they let you keep it?
I think I was left at a neighbour's house, number 57. Ah. So
they're the best. You get to keep the card with those ones.
Yeah, so this one, they've gone... Actually, part of us, I'm quite impressed. So he's already probably checked 49 and 53 and 55, and he's gone all the way down to 57.
Wow.
Because normally, so he probably cared quite
but
a lot.
But if it goes too far, it gets to people who you don't know. And then you may never see the item again.
Or there's one neighbour who's got an awful nanny who often collects stuff, and she shouts from about 6:30 in the morning. So I try to avoid ever meeting her.
Shouts at the child?
She just shouts and sings songs from 6:30.
Oh, wow.
So, and I have shouted out expletives very loudly, which has caused her to stop. So there's quite I don't want them to be delivered to the...
You don't always have perfect relations with all your neighbours.
No.
I mean, that would be unusual, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a perfect world.
No,
and do you find Parcel Force your favourite cards like that, or are there others you do you prefer?
No, actually, I wanted the Royal Mail one, but they're all addressed to my girlfriend. So I should bring in this one here. That's not, I didn't know if you took photos of them. I wanted something that didn't have my address on, so you
that's
couldn't.
True. Trace you.
all the podcast listeners will be queuing up. We enjoyed your story about the Aretha Franklin card, and we wanted to talk about it further.
I assumed a lot of murderers would listen to this podcast. Mm.
That is our main audience. Yeah. Yes, we certainly aim at that. Well, look, thank you both for these cards that you shared with us and our homicidal listeners. Very much appreciated. Another quick reminder for everyone listening at home who is allowed to listen to things. All the pictures of the cards, suitably anonymised, will be on the blog, postcardfromthepast.co.uk, including this next one, a last one in the past postcard style, which you'll be familiar with from the book Postcard from the Past and the Twitter. And this is a picture of, it's the Isle of Wight. And I'm sure...
Sandown Pier.
Perfect. He's good.
Fantastic.
He's good. His story checks out.
He's just walked around it, so I'd be disappointed if you didn't know.
Well, this could be made for you, actually, Marek. And it's a very what it is. So for those of you at home, it's a long beach, long pier, gloriously sunny day. Busy, you know, a good day for the shopkeepers. The beach is full of people.
Mm.
And the message I just thought was a bit odd, and I don't really know what it means. But nothing changes. Not even the paintwork or the colour of Mr. Finney's chest. I don't know who Mr. Finney was. I don't know what colour his chest was.
Well, nothing changes.
That is Sandown, and that's taken from the beach path, which I walked down about a month ago.
So you're on the cliff and looking down.
That's when it used to be busy. My friend Bruce has a beach hut which hires bikes out just down here.
Oh, nice.
It's never been... It's empty now. No one really goes to the Isle of Wight since the cheap flights came in to Europe. So it's basically decimated the whole of Isle of Wight tourism. And this is Sandown, which is in a real dilapidated state where all the hotels are sort of... All the paint is chipping off. And it's quite sad to see a coastal town which has lost its...
So how do they make the Isle of Wight fashionable? How do they turn the Isle of Wight into a sort of Whitstable of...
Hmm.
Must be a way of doing it.
The problem is that the... it's getting quite political now. the ferries have got monopolies on the Isle of Wight, so it's so expensive to take your car over. Everyone just goes, do you know what? And we'll just go to France.
We'll just fly
to France, and then we're guaranteed the weather. But the weather's always good in the Isle of Wight.
Is it?
Yes.
And actually, that's where we filmed part of Victoria and Abdul.
Ah. The Queen Victoria's house?
Yeah. Osborne House.
Was that a happy time?
Yes. Yeah, I loved it. I'd never been to the Isle of Wight, and I was particularly happy because there was always a trip in year six to go to the Isle of Wight, and I was never allowed to go. And I finally went, and it was a lovely thing to go when you're, like, in your 30s and you're there acting alongside Judi Dench. So.
Yeah.
Did she have nice weather?
It was lovely, thanks.
Not a surprise.
This is the marketing campaign they need. I can see you angling for it. Well, before we let Sook and Marek back to intensive rehearsals, I've got just one more postcard for you both. It has become customary for us to end the programme with one of these.
Ooh,
have a look. Maybe. Let me know what you think.
Looking back to announce the Oscars. Okay. Oh. So this is...
Oh, it's a record postcard.
Is it?
Yes, you play it on a... You put it on the... You play it. So is it music from the local area?
Oh, it says here Vista Sound on the back.
So you put this on the record player and you'd... Mm-hmm. And it's probably... I hope it's not scratched. Have you played this yet? Are you playing this at the end of the...
Well, Tom in the other room has been keeping an eye on things. Let's see if perhaps with a bit of work he can make the old technology...
Oh, wow.
...come to us.
I've never heard of this.
Can you hear it? It's not in a good state, this one.
He's got a very good West Country accent, though.
It's scratching.
Oh,
home is a doll of a stone, and he's right. The river and Stuart, Peter Gurney, Peter Davy, and Louis Farrell. All Uncle Tom probably, and Uncle Tom.
Come on, everyone.
Oh, we just sing along to it. What's the history here then? What's he singing about?
Widdicombe Fair.
Apples. All I can hear is there's some apples.
Yes. I think it's probably about apples, this one.
I'm quite amazed. I'd never heard of this. And I feel a bit goosebumpy.
But like, you used to get, or magazines used to get rubbish plastic.
You've got flexi discs, yeah. But this is different, really, because it's on a piece of cardboard.
I think it's quite special.
I think so.
Expensive, though. It's probably someone's year's salary for that.
Right. Just Marek always bringing us down from our nostalgia and our music.
A lot of people would go on holiday and come home bankrupt.
Yeah.
Oh, Dad, you haven't bought that. Oh.
Did you get the record postcard? I know, it must have been lost in the post. Ah.
Well, as we reflect on the overpriced postcard records, record postcards, that's it for this time on Podcast from the Past. I'd very much like to thank my first class guests for sharing the postcards from their pasts, Sook Hodgler and Marek Larwood. Thank you both.
A pleasure to be here.
And thank you for listening. Bye for now. You can see more postcards with their messages posted every day on Twitter. Do follow me, @PastPostcard. And you can buy the book, Postcard from the Past, by me, Tom Jackson, at Amazon and all good booksellers. And if you're looking for podcast production, check out wardourstudios.co.uk.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.